All right, everybody, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. Our next guest is the American reporter in exile. His name is Greg Pallast. He writes for The Guardian and The Observer and BBC Newsnight in the United Kingdom. He's the author of the book The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and his new documentary film, The Bush Family Fortunes, premieres its Austin premiere this Tuesday, August 12th, at the Paramount Theater, 713 Congress Avenue, at 7 p.m. And we're going to do a little contest here. Before I bring you on, Greg, give me one sec.
Okay.
I have two trivia questions for you. If you can call in 1-800-313-9443, that's 1-800-313-9443. The first 12 people who can answer one of these two questions will get a free DVD of the new documentary, The Bush Family Fortunes. And the questions are, whose corruption was the source of the compromise that let Bill Clinton be impeached merely for Monica Lewinsky not selling missile technology to the Chinese? And who finances war party libertarians like Tom Palmer over at the Cato Institute? If you can answer those questions, one or two or both of those, then you get a free copy of the Bush Family Fortunes. And again, the phone number is 1-800-313-9443. Okay, now, welcome to the show, Greg Pallast.
Hey, if I answer the questions, do I get a free DVD of Bush Family Fortune?
No.
I'm
not.
I'll tell you what, if you also answer the question and you're in Austin, you get a couple free tickets to the opening of the film, 7 p.m. on Tuesday. I'll be there. I'm flying in, and I hope to even have our producer from London flying in to Austin on Tuesday, 7 p.m. Some of the people featured in the film as well. And Jim Hightower says he's going to try to make it over.
You mean George Bush and Dick Cheney will be there?
Yeah, so if you guys don't know who it is, if you don't know who I am, the film Bush Family Fortunes subtitle is named after my book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. This is the film, the BBC television reports that are the hardcore investigative reports that Michael Moore's 911 is based on. So if you've seen 911... and if you're ready for the next step, as the Philadelphia paper puts it, get ready. This is the next step. So check it out.
It is great. I watched it last night.
I decided I like it. Pretty funny. When I first filmed for BBC, it was edited in a very British manner. We just changed it, updated it, and added. And now the music track. It's heavy investigative reporting. It's fun, but I now have a music track by the rocker Moby. Who added on the track. So it kind of gives it a new flavor.
All right. Anyway, Greg, you and I get along too well. Let's fight. You want to fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. Pick a fight with me.
Greg, I'm a libertarian.
Uh-huh.
But every time I hear you say that George Bush, quote, invaded the wrong country, I want to reach through cyberspace and commit an act of aggression against you. Would you please stop encouraging these warmongers?
Well, the problem is that if they got it right, and, you know, if we're going to go, like, you know, if he just cannot keep his hands off the 82nd Airborne and thinks that they are kind of like a oil exploration company as opposed to a defense unit, as long as they're bothering, as long as we're going to have an oil war, we might as well go after the good stuff and the guys who are killing us in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, yes, and see, that's all very funny, but... you know, wouldn't it be appropriate to say, look, I don't want us to invade Saudi Arabia, but, geez, they're a lot more connected to this than Iraq is, or, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, let's put it this way. I would not want to send any kid over there to bring the oil back here. And I got to tell you something, and this is the big problem, because, you know, no matter what our president says about the world is safer today because the terrorists are afraid. I'm sorry. Al-Qaeda didn't put those hijackings on the Al-Qaeda credit card. It was paid for by the princelets of Saudi Arabia.
But,
Greg,
you told me that they paid that money as protection money.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some money. Please don't bomb us. That's not the same thing as saying, here's some money, go kill some Americans.
Well, there's two groups, actually. There are the heavy duty. There's the big name billionaire investors and arms dealers. Those guys definitely do not want the order of things changed at all. There are some lower, and those guys paid Al-Qaeda. It's our intelligence that if you watch the film, you'll see that in 1995, there was a meeting at the Hotel Royal Monceau in Paris in which billionaires from Saudi Arabia and arms dealers got together and said, okay, to Al-Qaeda's finance arm. This is from two separate sources, including one being French intelligence. They said, okay, here's some cash, what basically... Don't blow up our yachts in the Mediterranean. This is protection money. In other words, Al-Qaeda does kind of run like a more like John Gotti than Hitler in a way. I mean, they're a shakedown operation. So they're shaking down the sheikhs. And that is a big source of their money, is to keep them out of Saudi Arabia. Now, there are some other princelets in Saudi Arabia who are more than happy to do their part for the great jihad.
Oh, so these are the princes, but then these are not the Saudi royal family. These are people, or, well, are they?
Well, the Saudi royal family is, by the way, that's a pretty big family, 16,000 princes.
So we're talking about lower-level princelets who are trying to coup and rise up to power and overthrow current regime?
Well, for example, we had one thing you'll see in the film is about two members of the Bin Laden family. You know, just because your name is Bin Laden does not mean you're a terrorist. Well, let's get it clear. I mean, there are Osama has 56 brothers and sisters, depending on who's counting. And no kidding. And but two members of his family were running what the FBI called a suspected terrorist organization. And you'll see this in Bush family's fortunes. Which, remember, this is BBC television. This ain't like pirate radio or something, you know. And, you know, on the other hand, pirate radio might have it correctly, but, you know, but this is not, and it's not Dan Rather either. You know, we check this stuff. We got a document which the FBI has not disowned. A secret document, 199I means national security, indicating that the FBI agents had been wanting to ask questions of two members of the Bin Laden family. They said were in America, fronting for a Saudi Arabian organization, which they called a suspected terrorist organization, one of these charity fronts. The FBI wanted to question them before September 11th, and they couldn't until September 13th, 2001.
And that's what that document 199I says is, now you may.
Go right ahead. And now, of course, what we did was, by that time, these birds had flown. And by the way, not in the kind of Air Saudi deal at on September 14th, 15th, we're talking about these guys left months before the attack. Now, here's the thing. Why were members of the Bin Laden family apparently held harmless when under the Patriot Act we're grabbing every guy named Ahmed, you know, in Texas, you know?
And grandmas at the airport.
Why are we taking off our shoes? It's a good thing that the shoe bomber actually didn't put his Semtex in a jock strap, otherwise we'd all really be in trouble. so we're all taking off our shoes. You know, all this stuff, by the way, Scott, reminds me of if you're close to my age, you remember Duck and Cover, right? During the Cuban Missile Crisis, we all kept drilling. We'd all jump under our desks and say, don't look at the flash, you'll be okay.
Yep.
This is the type of war on terror that we are running right now. We're doing another duck and cover, see? And so what's happening is we're grabbing all the guys named Ahmed. We're taking off our shoes in the airport. But we have the President of the United States down to Crawford Ranch driving around in a golf cart with Crown Prince Abdullah. So what is the signal here? What is the signal here? If you're rich enough, you know, if you don't have the money to take off your shoes, You're a suspect, you know. September 11th, we were all victims. September 12th, Americans became the suspects, but not the Saudis. By the way, this organization, Scott, now this is the interesting thing. What you'll see in the film is the thing about the Bin Laden boys not being questioned about their little fun group that they're running.
Right. Now we're talking about the specific two or three Bin Laden boys.
Two of them, Abdullah and Omar. Just two. Again, just because your name is Bin Laden, don't mean you're a bad guy.
Right.
These two guys, by the way, I would say they're questioning. You would not. Let's put it this way. I got a videotape. BBC got a videotape from these guys, little organization, in which they were indoctrinating young kids in the wonders of hostage taking and suicide bombing.
This
I'm not kidding
whammy,
you.
Right?
Is whammy, in Florida, in a little camp, summer camp there living in Florida, you know, baseball, soccer, hostage taking. You know, it's like, excuse me. Yeah, I would ask them a couple of questions, guys. All right, so they were held harmless, all right? Now, their organization was not hit by Homeland Security. They were not raided until this year, the week after Saudi Arabia, the oil workers' compound in Riyadh was bombed. Then, so New York is attacked, the Pentagon's attacked, these guys, all the agents were now allowed to go ask questions, but they don't raid the office. Saudi Arabia is attacked, and suddenly 50 G-men, I'm not kidding you, 50 guys with automatic weapons surround the building and go in. And, you know, by this time, we've run the reports, everyone, you know, it's like, you know, of course, you're already going to get there. You're going to get a bunch of old soccer balls.
Right, yeah, it's already been cleaned up by then.
Cleaned up, cleaned out, goodbye. And then what's left, and then what you start doing is then you do start grabbing, you know, Muslim soccer moms. They're the ones who are left holding the ball, if you don't mind the joke. You know, so what happens is that's what we're doing. We're grabbing the you know, Muslim soccer moms. Bad guys are going off, and Crown Prince Abdullah, who has not shut off the money flow to the bad guys, is riding around in the golf cart in Crawford.
Greg, I think we're going to need to come up with some new trivia questions, because I think we've only given away one or two of these so far.
It's a good one.
The answer, everybody, was the Koch brothers.
That's
corruption.
Right.
You need to read Greg's book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and learn all about that. The questions were, whose corruption was the source of the compromise that let Bill Clinton off the hook, and who finances war party libertarians like Tom Palmer? And the answer was the Koch brothers. And,
K-O-C-H, by the way.
K-O-C-H, that's right.
Right, right. But it has nothing to do with importing white stuff. They are an oil company who's well known for stealing oil off Indian reservations.
All right, well,
Oklahoma.
Let's come up with a new trivia question for them. And come up with one that I'll know the answer to so I can tell the producer on a piece of paper.
I see, that you'll know the answer to. A trivia question that you will know the answer to. Okay, which of the two candidates for President of the United States called before the September 11th, 2000 attack, called for having a formal declaration of war against Al-Qaeda? Tick tock, tick tock.
Jeez, I don't know. My guess would be neither.
No, really, I actually Kerry did.
Oh, right.
You know, he was. You know, see, that's the other thing is that when George Bush, by the way, for you just tuned in, this is Greg Palast ranting.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, look, first 10 people to call in 313-9443, you get the damn movie. I'm tired of this trivia thing. I want to get back to the interview.
Yeah, we don't want to be trivial anymore.
Yeah. No, that's right. It's 313-9443. Call and get your free movie. All right. Go ahead, yeah. Greg.
So, excuse me, Anthrax. Sorry. Yeah. So, what happened is. The war on terror there. Wait, my machinery's going crazy on me. Hang on. Okay. Where were we, Scott?
I don't know. Hey, let's talk about Iraq, Greg.
Okay, let's talk about Iraq. I'm losing it. Okay, here's the story on Iraq.
Okay.
This was just added to Bush Family Fortunes. Just so you know, that this is the film, Bush Family Fortunes. If you go to gregpalast.com, you can see a little 90-second... clip so that you're all prepared when you go on Tuesday at 7 p.m. to the Paramount in Austin. Now, we've added, since we first broadcast this in BBC Britain, we've added a new section of new investigations on Iraq. And what we found was documents from inside the State Department, inside the Defense Department, which were the plans.
These are the maps of the oil fields.
Well, first they had maps of the oil field. That was discovered by a good conservative group called Judicial Watch. And that group...
What the hell is going on over there, Greg?
Oh, you know, the usual... I wish Ashcroft would just leave me alone already.
Oh, is that what it is? The Department
okay,
of
John,
Security tapping.
Down, John, down! Anyway, so we found... first, you'll see in the film the maps of Iraq with a bunch of splotches on them. Each of those splotches is an oil field, which is now a battlefield. And these were the maps that Vice President Cheney went over in his bunker with oil company executives, and he won't name which ones. By the way, I will right now. Okay, I know who worked on the plans for taking over the oil of Iraq. Shell Oil, ConocoPhillips. Okay, they were there.
The secret energy task force meetings?
Okay, these were not secret. See, that's the trick.
This is a different energy task force.
What's happened is that people don't know about the other meetings. And out of the other meetings, there was a 101-page document, which, again, I'll show you in the film. And on the DVD, if you stick the DVD in a computer, you can also get some of these documents up on your screen, besides in the film itself. It's a 101-page plan for dividing up the assets of Iraq. It's for privatizing is the word that they love to use, selling off all state assets. And the phrase used in the document is especially in the oil and oil services industries. In other words, especially the oil. And this plan they came up with in 2001. They began writing this up. In fact, before we were ever attacked, before we decided that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, this was the plan, okay? And here you see it. Now, is this like a Dan Rather? Can I authenticate it? Yeah, you know who authenticated it? You'll see in the film. General Jay Garner, the general himself, the guy that we put in charge of Iraq, George Bush put in charge of Iraq.
And the guy who got fired the day that he called for elections, right?
He called for elections because he said, well, you know, the president calls me in and says, bring democracy to Iraq. So, you know, I land there and I say, okay, we're going to have elections. Well, you can't have elections and take someone's oil away. He says, if we try to take it away, we're going to fight these people. He said, we're going to have more enemies than we started with. Huh.
You know what gets me, though, Greg, is that, and by the way, Greg Palast from the BBC, The Guardian, The Observer in London, one of the greatest investigative reporters on earth. That's who you're listening to on the other end here. By the way, but the thing that gets me about the whole war for oil thing is that James Baker and Brent Scowcroft and even Henry Kissinger, who are all typical oil men, Rockefeller Republicans, they all wrote editorials saying, whoa, what's going on here? Let's slow down now. And it was the neoconservatives who were all the egghead academic, ex-communist, world revolution for Israel and all that, all this. They're the ones who pushed for this war in Iraq, while Scowcroft and even Kissinger were at least trying to slow it down, if not oppose it.
Well,
oh,
in
and
fact, they
I'm
had
sorry,
a...
we're going out to yeah. the break. I'm sorry, Greg, to,
okay.
to ask you that question going out to break. We'll
Make
get your
up.
Answer to that right when we get back. Anybody wants a free copy of the Bush Family Fortunes, it's 1-800-313-9443. We'll be right back on the Weekend Interview Show with Greg Palast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton, and the guest is Greg Palast. He's the American reporter in exile. He writes for The Guardian, The Observer, BBC Newsnight. He wrote the book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. His brand-new movie, The Bush Family Fortunes, will be making its Austin premiere this Tuesday, August 12th, 2004, at the Paramount Theater, 713 Congress Avenue, at 7 p.m. And if you call 1-800-313-9443, as long as there's any left, you can get your own DVD of that movie and get your name on the list to get into the movie this Tuesday due to the generosity of Greg Palast, whose writings you could read at gregpalast.com. Now, sir, when we went out to the break, I was putting to you the fact that a lot of the oil men opposed the war, and it was the crazy ideological neoconservatives who pushed it.
Well, in fact, you've anticipated my next two articles in Harper's Magazine. I've done an investigation of just this. What is the split? I mean, we don't have anyone investigating a huge split within the administration, within the ruling elite over there. There are the neocons, the berserkers, and then there are the oil men. They wanted the oil fields, but they didn't want them on fire, okay?
Yeah.
You know, here's the deciding factor from the inside. I can't give you away the whole article, otherwise my editors will go crazy on me. But the deciding hand on the scale between the old oil hands like Jim Baker and Henry Kissinger and the oil companies and the neocons on the other side is Saudi Arabia once again. Because what happened is that the neocons, their plan that I just described that we uncovered for selling off the oil fields of Iraq, called for something else. They called not only for selling off the oil fields of Iraq, but dividing them up and maximizing production. Now, let me explain what that means. If Iraq maximizes production and smashes their oil quotas from OPEC, suddenly the price of oil moves from $50 a barrel to $8 a barrel, and Saudi Arabia is in deep doo-doo, as Daddy Oil Man Bush said. Okay? So the neocons wanted to smash OPEC as part of their new American century plan. However, obviously the oil men who are you know, ringing that cash register pretty darn nicely. It's been a very nice war for ExxonMobil and Shell Oil. Record profits. They don't want to smash OPEC. And then the Saudis weighed in. You know, we're sitting on the spigots, boys. And let me explain what happens to you if you get out of line and start messing with the price of oil. Iraq, to survive, has to sell oil. And the irony of oil, if you break your OPEC quota, is that instead of selling 4 million barrels at $30 a barrel, you're selling 6 million at $6 a barrel. You do the arithmetic, you overproduce, and you blow out the market, and you lose money.
Right.
So that's what it's all. It's very common, but it's the politics of OPEC. And by the way, do you know who made the decision to listen to the Saudis?
James Baker.
The president, Mr. Cheney. That's what I was told by the oil men. That I said, well, who, you know, I mean, there's all these competing factions. Who makes a decision? And I was told by one of the biggest men in the oil industry, who deals, by the way, with both Republicans and Democrats, who said, one man sets energy policy in the United States named Dick Cheney.
Yep. All right, Greg, tell us your website and who you write for and about your movie very quickly.
Greg Palast at GregPalast.com. See you in Austin this Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the Paramount Theater for the opening. I hope my friend Jim Hightower is going to be joining me. And this is the film on which 9-1-1 is based. It's the BBC original investigative broadcast. We'll have fun. Music by Moby. See you in Austin, 7 p.m. at the Paramount. Or go to GregPalast.com. Get the DVD yourself, for God's sake.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show, Greg. I'll see you there. All right, everybody. We'll be right back.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.